as he is in this world, so are we. So we, as he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
True indeed,
as he is in this world, so are we.
Get it?
You know his love is sufficient. Ask for a blessing, he send it. To not believe is indignant. Full of grace, can you dig it? He can't be mocked, so don't try it. You think you can and you frying. Satan lies, but don't buy it. To know his love, I'm excited. Release. While falling to my knees, feel like flowing through the breeze, just like Christopher Reeves. Gotta practice what we preach, cause this world could be a beach built on a rock, so storms they won't breach. Say love, y'all know that's what he is. Blesses us with his gifts, cause we are indeed his kids. Peace, he is the son of man. We don't always understand, but need to follow his plan. Pray, it's how we talk to our dad. When we do it, he is glad. Best feeling we can have.
Faith,
we don't have it, we're a mess. Go through trials to get a test, but we pass and get blessed.
Get it.
You are now riding with the Dashboard Pastor, aka DBP. So strap in, get your mind ready, and let's roll.
What is good? What's going on, fam? How y'all doing out there? It's your boy Anthony. Welcome to another episode of the DBP. For those of you who don't know, that is for the Dashboard Pastor. So, let's get it going. Today is the fifth part of the series, Proof vs. Example. If you haven't seen prior episodes, what is proof versus example? Proof versus example is, are we proof of God's goodness, love, light, the reasons to follow and seek him, or are we examples of why the world should continue to see us as hypocrites, fraudulent, and not follow God? All of this is going to a particular spot. There's an end game for this. The end game, you will find out. And I shouldn't say end game. There's a goal. There's a mark that we're trying to hit, a goal. So, that being said, let's go with this one. Now, I'll read this while I'm stopped. Okay, so Isaiah 54:17 says this. Nope, but in the coming days, no weapon turned against them will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to your accuser. Sorry. I need to put this on. I need to think about that any minute. So I'm not yelling over the vent. I'll read that again in a minute. That should be better. It says, again, Isaiah 54:17 says, But in the coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits will be enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. That should be good news. Vindication comes from the Lord. That in and of itself is good news. Not only that, but the fact that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's the King James version of it. So, what does that got to do with what I'm talking about today? Today, I heard a song. I was in the gym getting ready. You know, after I showered, I was getting ready to head to work. And the song said, and I don't remember if it was the chorus or just in one of the lyrics, it said, I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die. That struck out to me when I heard that. I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die. Now, I'm willing to bet that those lyrics, and I don't know who it was. I apologize that I can't give song credit to who it was. It's something that I wouldn't have listened to if I hadn't just been sitting there in the gym getting ready. So, my apologies for that. What I will say is, I am willing to bet that that resonates with a large number of people, a nice number of people, something, however you want to word that. There are a nice amount of people who have that mindset. We've talked about on the show several times the that spirit of depression and anxiety and things like that, and these are driving forces to that. And understanding that, I don't want to say this, just because somebody is depressed, beat up, torn up, torn down, however you want to be torn, doesn't mean, oh shoot, I should have stopped at that. It's, anyway, the light is out. So, just because somebody is torn up, torn down, defeated, doesn't automatically mean death is the place they want to go. I am not condemning anybody in what I'm saying. I am simply stating that there are probably a vast majority of people who are like going through whatever it is, and they're like, something's got to give. I don't want to keep doing like this, but death ain't the way out. And that's what I heard when I heard that. And I want to go on record as stating right now that that phrase, if someone is saying that phrase and believing that, that in and of itself is growth. That is showing somebody is looking ahead. There's got to be a better way than this. I don't want to do this, and I don't want to die. How did I word it? I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die. If somebody who's going through something is willing to admit and say that, we're on the right path. What does that got to do with proof versus example? Bible verse that I read states that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. What is that saying? That is saying that in this lifetime, you will deal with issues. You will deal with struggles. You will deal with pain. You will deal with suffering. You will deal with some uncomfort. You will deal with a bunch of things you don't want to deal with. And whatever the enemy throws at you, it won't prosper. Now, connecting to parts of the series before, one of the ways, because when I said that, I can hear someone saying, how you gonna tell me that me being broke is that this weapon didn't prosper? How you gonna tell me that me having cancer is not this weapon prospering? Things like that. Those are indeed the weapons. Much to what was mentioned when talking about the tongue, what we do next will have a big say in whether these weapons will prosper. God is saying in that Bible verse, if you trust me, if you believe in me, if you have faith in me and my promise, because that's a promise from God, then no weapon formed against you will prosper. The promise isn't that no weapon will be formed against you. The promise is that it won't take you out, it won't take you down, it won't stop you, it won't be your life. The caveat is faith. You got to believe that. You got to believe the promise that God say in order for that to show in your life. The issue is we've been trained by the world. Let me stop. That's a whole different. Let me stop. That's a different part of the series. I'll say we've been trained to think the opposite. I will say that. We've been trained to think the opposite of that. And so we think that the weapons are successful because they come at us. I know of people, see, man, I gotta stop talking about that. That's a completely, okay. I gotta come up with different examples because now I'm starting to merge a different part of this series into this, and it's not time for that. Understand that this episode is a building block to where I'm going with that, and once I get to it, you'll understand what I mean by that. But you gotta check, you gotta stay around and catch that. Sorry, that was a shameless plug there. The point is, when it comes to the weapons, they're coming. Where proof versus example comes into play is, what does your life show when these things come? Do you believe God's word has promised that it will not prosper against you? If you do, your words will show that. I am not broke. I am not poor. I am not defeated. It may look like this, but God. Which comes to another, I thought this was going to be his own show, but apparently not. The other day, I'm at the gym, a thought comes in my head, and I start marinating on this as I'm sitting there in the steam room, and I thought it was going around and being its own message. I see it's supposed to be a part of this. There is a saying, and I know I was listening to a song. There's a saying that we need to pay attention to, and it's failure is not an option. We need to pay attention to what the context is when phrases like that are spoken. What do I mean by that? In the improper context, if we are telling people to function in the mindset of failure is not an option, what they hear is, if I fail, I have messed up. Maybe this isn't the path I was supposed to go down. Maybe I was supposed to do this. Maybe I was supposed to do this. Maybe God is directing me away from this. Because of that out of context, that failure is not an option, will mislead. So we need to speak in proper context when we're saying things like that. Because something Michael Jordan said. Michael Jordan talked about how many shots he missed before he started making shots. Kobe said this as well, basically saying, y'all see what I'm doing on the court. You didn't see all the failures it took me to get to this point. So, in that context, understanding that we are going to have failures. We are going to have failures. It's just... That's how the world that we live in is. That's how it's been. We have an enemy who is going out of the way to make sure that we are directed here at all costs. Because the object is to get us to believe that this promise of no weapon formed against us shall prosper is just bogus. So how do I get you not to believe that? By throwing stuff in your way that gets in the way of the path that you're going down. And so you start believing in the failure more than you believe in the success. You start believing that when someone says something like failure is not an option, the fact that I failed means that this is not my path, when it's not truth. Because if you read the Bible, there's a vast majority, like everybody but one, who went in their walk, their ministry, their path, they were riddled with failure. It's because of failure we have most of the New Testament that was penned. The human hands that penned it was because of examples of failure. Paul failed miserably, and his failures continued to lead down a path that eventually led to the success. And because of that, we have most of the New Testament. It's like 2/3 of the New Testament was written by Paul. And if you read it, you'll see riddled with failures. David, the great King David, who had the heart of God, was riddled with failures. He made some less than wise choices. He did some less than wise things. And it led to some hurdles, some detours, some pain. He lost one of his children because of the choice he made. That's failure. And yet, we have Psalms. The book of Psalms, most of the book of Psalms was written by David. We have that because in the midst of his failures, he was connecting to the source. I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm going to continue on. I mean, there's several places. And I mean, if you read it, Samuel, 2 Samuel, it talks about David, his life, as he was doing. Was anointed. God told him he was going to be the next king at a young age. It took him a long time to get there. Some of that was by design from God, and some of that was by choices that David made that led him through. The people of Israel, predating David, when they did the mass exodus out of Egypt, the promised land that they were promised was a 3-day hike. It took them three to 11 day hike. Let's call it that. It took them 40 years to get there. And not everybody that started got there. Some people didn't make it to the promised land. Failure. Now, there were those who made it because they went to the source. They didn't have the Bible to reference to see that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, but they had faith in what the men of God that were there were saying, and from what they knew of God, because the book of Isaiah was written long after that, so they didn't have Isaiah to reference as we do. But they had a promise that God was going to get them to the promised land. And despite what they saw, they believed that they were going to get to the promised land. And guess what? They made it to the promised land. So, failure, again, will happen. It will happen a lot. And it doesn't have to be the end all be all, which will play into that mentality of, I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die. sick and tired of being sick and tired. How many times have you heard someone say that, or have you said it yourself? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want to keep down this path. Oh my goodness, this is too much. On and on and on and on and on. Now, in the context of proof versus example, the biblical examples I gave you are showing people's persistence. Which is the key. Persistence. And I'm going to be transparent. Persistence hasn't always been a strong suit of mine. I have struggled with persistence several times over in my life. I have been the person that I am talking about that says, I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die. And I also don't want to do this, and I also don't want to do that, and when I tried to do this, this didn't work, and when I tried to do this, this didn't work, and when I tried to do this, this didn't work. So my thought is, I'm not supposed to be this, that, or the third. And that mindset had held me back in my life, in my growth, for a very long time. Oh, I guess that means it's just not that, just wasn't for me. Oh, I guess that means I should just give up. I can't tell you how many times I've said that. I cannot tell you how many times I've said that and done it. So that, Anthony, is the example of not trusting God's word. Because that's why Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Another from the Bible. In the Bible, after one of Jesus' teachings, he tells the disciples, hey man, God told us to go to the other side of this lake. Which is a massive lake, sea, whatever, however you want to. It's not like the lakes we have here in Colorado. This is a massive lake. But Jesus, God in the flesh, said, we need to be on the other side. We need to get there. He said, all right. They said, okay, cool. They get in there. A storm hits. Jesus is in the back sleep. There's water all over the place rushing in, and you know, you gotta imagine this wave, it's a storm. So there's the boat is jarring and rocking and all this stuff. It's probably mad thunder and lightning, like loud, it's all get out. And Jesus is knocked out. The disciples were like, man, you better get up. Do you not even care? We about to die, dude. What are you doing? Sleep. We are about to die. Jesus gets up. Like, man, y'all got faith problems. Storm stop. Storm stop. And he's like, I need to work on your faith. Essentially what he was saying, I told you we were going to the other side. And you need to understand that there's someone who's trying to get you to not believe what I'm telling you. So this storm was that. Apply that to your life. Apply that to your life. God told you that he's taking you somewhere. He's taking you somewhere. God didn't say it was going to be a straight line, no bumps in the road, no detours, no friction. He just said, this is where I want you to go. Once you acknowledge that, you agree with that, you speak that, you start living it, the enemy's like, nope, 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 nope. Last thing I need is this fool to start believing this and start speaking this to other folks and being the proof of God's love, God's compassion, God's wisdom, of God, period. So I need to throw this monkey wrench in there. A part of that, just to give it an example, a concrete example that those of you who watch this show can see. I can't tell you how many times that I've had messages that I was like, man, and God, ooh, we got it, this, and had prayed about no interruptions before, and was so many interruptions on here. All of a sudden, I couldn't keep reception on this live stream. Understanding that I don't deviate. I know it's not like I have multiple routes I take, and I'm like, at this point I'm on the western end of the state, and this point I'm on the eastern end of the state, and the south, and all that. My routes are the same. I generally go the same, drive the same thing all the time. I deviate a little bit, but those deviations have been places where I get good reception. So, God said, I need you to do this message. Go to the other side of the lake. I got in the boat, my vehicle. I'm on my way to where God said, I hit a storm. And one day, it was so bad that I had to stop the live stream. I don't know how many of you remember this. I had to stop the live stream, and it completely changed my whole show. And I had to talk about what I was feeling, how discouraged I was, and how, despite that discouragement, I was going to press forward. So, because my discouragement, what happened in my discouragement is, and I'll just be transparent, when I wasn't on, I was like, are you telling me to stop doing this? Is that what this is, God? Am I done? Is that it? Have I done what you needed me to do? Because I can't understand why you would allow that to happen like that. This is a conversation I had in between, because I wasn't going to continue to do that stream that day. I was discouraged. And then God said to me, where's your faith? I told you, we gonna get to the other side of the lake. So go. And what did I do? I got on and I continued the live stream. That is a concrete example of what I am trying to deliver to those of you who are listening to me. I could have got caught up in my emotions and looking at the storm and said, well, guess I'm not going that direction. Maybe this weapon has prospered. Maybe it has. And if I'm thinking that, then I don't believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I am calling God a liar. God had to remind me of that. I told you, I got it. If I told you to do it, I got it. Do you believe that? So my question to you is, if God told you to do it, and he says, I got it, do you believe it? I'm going to go on record as saying I believe, and I will say, and I've said something like this before, I believe what some of you will say, yes, until I don't. And my response to that is, welcome to humanity. We've all been there, we've all done it. What we gotta understand is, God is no liar. He cannot lie. What he says comes to fruition. what we have to understand is we got to get outside of our thinking of things, our limited thinking, our limited thought process, our limited ability to do things, and stop projecting that on him. We think because Anthony is limited by blank, that must mean that God is limited by blank. And that is absolutely not the case. Because here's the other thing. If I decided to fall into despair and quit, he would have just went to somebody else who had the faith and the grit to continue. God's word wouldn't have stopped getting out there. It's not like he'd been up. Anthony decided he wasn't going to say my word, so shoot. Guess I can't minister to people. That's not at all what would have happened. It would have been like, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and let him do what he needs to do for a minute, and I'm gonna tap this person because this needs to get to these people. Not saying that he would have given up on me, because God will not forsake nor leave us. I need to let him get that. I need to let him figure that out. And once he figures that out, then I'll bring him back into the fold. That could have been me. What God got me to understand is, yes, sometimes you're going to have to deal with some stuff in ministry, and it's going to suck. However, that's where we get testimony. That's where we get the relatability. So you can relate to what I'm saying, because what I've found in my own life, in the life of others, hearing it in the Bible, reading it in the Bible, yes, I get it, but I can't relate to that. And you know why you can't? Because you're not Hebrew. You don't understand Hebrew customs. You are American, unless you are watching this and you're not in the United States. I don't know, but you are not of ancient Hebrew. So the things that made sense to them don't make sense to us. A lot of the parables that you read in the Bible are based on the customs that were happening at that time. Jesus was speaking to those people because they were there. That's why they're metaphors to us, because we don't understand that. So what does Jesus do? He uses us to speak now and use parables from now so that we can understand what he's saying. That is why I believe out of nowhere, because what I'm talking about, I promise you, was not at all on my mind to talk about. I believe it led this way because what he wanted to get to people was, this is how I talk to my children. I want you to understand what I'm saying. So I'm going to use that person there, whomever that is, in this case me, to illustrate what I'm saying in a way that they will understand what I am saying. And then I can connect it to God's word and say, oh, I get it. I didn't have a thunderstorm in my car that day. I didn't have a hurricane in my car that day, but I had a storm. Jesus wasn't worried about the storm. I was. And I was on the verge of trying to disprove that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, until he got my attention and I was like, oh, I can't do that. Because then I'm an example of why people shouldn't believe God. And that's the opposite of my job. My job is to prove why people should follow, want to follow, seek. That is why the trials come. That is why the testings come. That is why the failures come. It is to attack your faith, to get you to be the example of why people shouldn't believe God. And there are, it's sad to say that there are people who grew up in the church, and the church, the body, not the building, and something didn't go the way that they thought it should, and they gave up on God, turned their back, and then started speaking against Him. That's the purpose of these trials, to get us to do that. And just think, there are some trials that God saved you from that you don't even know about. It could have been worse. It probably would have been worse. But God protected you from that. Nah, not that. However, this here, I can use to grow the person who's going through it, to mature the person who's going through it, understanding that they're going to then in turn speak to the masses, whomever the masses are, and share that testimony so that the next person that hears them that has gone through something similar could be like, got it. I feel you. Because, man, it's funny. Because I was thinking something just like that. Man, I was going through something just like that. That's all. That's what Jesus was doing when he was talking. Like, and they were like, man, you know what? That makes sense. I got that. That's what we're called to do. It's not, it doesn't have to be complex. It doesn't have to be walking around quoting every, you know, every, singing hymns all the time, quoting every letter of the Bible and speaking in Old English and all of this. That's not the point. The point is to build relationships so that people will trust God and be a part of the kingdom. It's all about that. Building relationships. That's what Jesus did. He built relationships. Read it for yourself. What Jesus did, whenever you saw him talking to someone, he was building a relationship, connecting them to the kingdom of God. That was what he did. That was what he did. Somewhere along the way, we stopped believing God's word. In the case of this, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and we stopped building relationships because we got butthurt. That might seem harsh to some people, but that's what it was. We got hurt. Oh my God, this. And we stopped building the relationships for the King. All right, I'm going to read this and then I'm done. I don't remember where I got this from. I've been holding on to this for over a year, possibly even close to 2 years, waiting for the right moment for this to come out in the show. And here we go. It says, accept our experiences, including painful emotions, rather than react to them with aversion and avoidance. These could be keeping us in the past, out of the present. I'm going to read that again. Accept our experiences, including the painful emotions, rather than react to them with aversion and avoidance. These could be keeping us in our past and out of our present. How does that relate to what I just said? If you live in your past, you will not function in the present, and you will not do anything for the kingdom in the future. You went through it. It sucked. Nobody's saying that it didn't. Nobody's saying it wasn't hard. Nobody wasn't saying it wasn't horrible. Except that this is something that you went through, whether it was your fault or not. This is something that you went through. And when it comes to poor choices, understanding that it is your fault that it happened, and you are forgiven, you can move forward. But if we can't accept our experiences for what they were and learn from them, and that's what this is getting at, learn from these experiences. When I did this, this, and this, 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 and this happened. These were not good things. So apparently, I need to fix that. So instead of doing this, I did this, this, and this. Huh, I would have had a different outcome. Oh, and by the way, let me share that with those around me so that they don't make the same mistakes that I made. If you heard that, this is what we who have been called into ministry do. That is, this is what we are called to do. This is why in Revelations it says they live by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Because of what I just said. The key is for the listener to actually listen, process, and not think, but that won't happen to me. Because that's the first mistake we make in situations as such. It won't happen to me. It very well could happen to you. And if it happened to them in that way, and they did the exact same thing, you might want to think about it. Example, as I'm driving, if I'm driving and I make a left turn and the car behind me follows me, and I hit this massive dip, they're going to hit that same dip. But if they're behind me, I hit this dip and they're like, yep, now I'm not going that way, I'm going that way. That's wisdom. And that's not even a very thought-provoking thing, like, ooh, that sucked when I saw that. I'm not doing that. So for the listener, but for the speaker, understanding that and believing that, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In the midst of, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. This is a weapon that was formed against me, but it will not do what it was planned, the end game, the goal, to destroy me. That's what God is saying. You will have weapons formed against you, but they will not destroy you if you trust me. If you don't, you're on your own. Meditate on that. Chew on that. Sleep on that. Pray on that. Believe on that. And when you don't believe, God, I believe, but help my unbelief, comes up all the time. It's going to keep coming up. I pray that ministered to who is listening to this. I pray that you heard that. I pray that you really, really listen to that. Not heard it, listen to that. I pray that it's something that you are processing on. I pray it's something that you meditate on. And I pray it's something that it's applied. Because we're all imperfect. We all mess up. And God has a way for all of us to protect, to save, to guide, to encourage all of us in the midst of all of those things. If we believe. And that Isaiah 54:10 is a promise from God saying it will come, it won't destroy you. I will make sure of it. But we gotta take it from us, give it to Him. I love y'all. Have a blessed week. Peace.